South Wales brings you On The Pace for your daily dose of news and tips.
Yes, and it's time for this morning's edition of On The Pace. Fred Hastings, good morning.
G'day, Simon. How you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. How was Tabcorp Park Menangle last night? You had a couple of decent races, including a Group 3 free-for-all?
Yeah, we sure did, which we'll have a listen to and chat about in a moment. But there were some real good performances last night at the program. I was very excited to see the Australian debut of Fun at the Beach, prepared by Team Tritton. Lauren took the drive, drew barrier one. This horse had raced some very, very good horses, formerly, of course, with the All-Stars team. And it came out and led all the way in 153.5, running its last half in 54.8. Now, I have a suspicion that there still might have been something left in the locker for Lauren when she let Fun at the Beach go, and I thought it was a very good performance. So Fun at the Beach certainly making an impact on its Aussie debut. The other two standout performances, I thought, aside from the feature race, Valoroso Hanover. This horse really has stepped up to the mark over the last three runs. It's made it three straight since joining the Cray Cross Barn. It set a track record at Penrith. Just three runs back, a record that stood for 5 years, and since won races at Newcastle and now at headquarters, went 155 for the longer trip, and Valoroso Hanover racing in peak form. And one of my favourite horses, Franco Landry, just been a real honest money spinner. It was back last night. It won in 153.6 and scored by a comfortable margin in 4.5 metres, and good to see Franco Landry doing what he does best. But the highlight race last night was the Sue Kelly free-for-all at Group 3.
They're down the back straight. They head past the 800 metres. The second quarter, 28.5. Half in 56.2. The leader is Cash and Flow. About 3 metres to Elmer's Image. Covered up on the inside, Ray's Choice. One out and one back next of all as they make their run off the back as Jack Farthing, Wrangler, Harjeet. And then came back on the inside, Lord Zinzan and Little Rascal head the remainder. 500 metres left to go. It's still Cash and Flow leading. About 3 metres to Elmer's Image. Nowhere to go for Ray's Choice. Next, the outsiders, Jack Farthing, Wrangler. Harjeet pulls out three wide to get into the fight as they straighten. 27.5 the quarter, and Cash and Flow quickly puts up 8 metres. Fends off the challenge of Elmer's Image. Ray's Choice up on the inside, Wrangler. Harjeet from a mile back, Little Rascal runs on, but Cash and Flow has given them the slip. Races 15 metres clear. It's all Cash and Flow. They've lined up for the miners, but Cash and Flow bolts in. Second, Harjeet. I think Let's Spend Tonight Together might have got third and fourth. You had a few of them.
Got a replay there of the Sue Kelly free for all. Freddie, Cash and Flow was a $2.90 favourite in the end, and it was too good for the one that jumped second favourite, Harjeet.
Yeah, Cash and Flow, I know the stable have always had a pretty good opinion of the horse and have campaigned interstate with Cash and Flow. Joined the sub-150 club with a 149.9 last night, won by a very comfortable margin, 9.7 metres. Harjeet, look, it'll lose no cast from that run last night. It is a very talented horse and played, went out last night and played with the big guns, taking on Group 3 company in Sydney. And it had certainly acquitted itself well, and a few other good runs, including Let's Spend a Night Together, Little Rascal, who was well tried at odds to win the race, and Wrangler wasn't far away. So it was another night where Cash and Flow has again shown that he's right up there with some of the good horses, and adds a Group 3 and a sub-150 to his credit. The other feature last night, from my perspective, was the ongoing form of the Lucky Lodge team, Kerri-Ann Morris and Robert Morris. They combined with a horse who has now won two of its past three.
4.08, travelling well near the turn. So too does Lombo Coda Kinabalu, who stalks at second. Third on the outside, Smoky Quartz, and then beats it under a drive from Vinny Chase and Goonley trying to work into the clear. 28.1 the quarter. 4.08 is the leader. Setting out after it now is Lombo Coda Kinabalu. Vinny Chase up on the inside, beats it, and from a mile back, Bad Billy goes bang. Bad Billy right down the outer extremity of the track has gone up to join Lombo Coda Kinabalu, gives it the go-by, and Bad Billy, too good, beats Lombo Coda Kinabalu. Third home in the race was Beetson.
So Bad Billy winning that third on the program last night. Freddie and Robbie Morris, who drove Bad Billy, joins us now on the pace. Robbie, good morning to you.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Robbie, good to chat with you. Yeah, look, Bad Billy has won two of his past three, as I mentioned. He went 151.9 on the Fisher's Ghost meeting and then 152 last night. So he's certainly running up to that type of time and form. Just racing in good form. He's got a good will to win.
Yeah, look, he's been a really good little honest horse campaigner in Melbourne for a good lot of years now. He actually raced, I think, in the Intermediate Series of Melbourne last year. And he's owned by terrific people, Gary and Daryl Lawler. They sent him up. They just sort of thought the Menangle Racing would suit him a little bit better than what Melton does, and they were spot on the money. You know, he's really acclimatised really well to the racing, and I've been super happy with all his runs. Two runs back, he got left outside the leader, which probably just isn't him, but he bounced back to win in form last night, and I was really pleased with him.
He's a bit of a swooper. His first win, he was in a three-peg pocket and he got away from the inside and switched to the outer. And last night, he was stone motherless on the final turn and he's really sprouted wings. Now, the official last quarter time stands at 27.8. Now, that was obviously when the leader tripped the split at the 400. Your horse has probably gone very, very low 27s, close to 27.
Yeah, that's right. You know, he's, I think Kerry, so she picked it early on. She said that he probably suits to the Sid Sprint style, which he's always had that style in Melbourne. So, yeah, Kerry just sort of quite happy for me to drive him that sort of way, which I'm sort of quite happy with myself, to be honest. And yeah, look, they went a little bit hard early, which helped, but he was sitting back. And I think he's got a horse that he'll find himself into the three-four grade, and I think when he gets there, the harder they go, the more he'll enjoy it.
Seems to be that will be a racing pattern that's going to suit him. Just on yourself, I mean, I mentioned last night, you know, your form continued. Since the 7th of November, you've driven 11 winners. The stable has produced 12 winners. And as a consequence, you're certainly putting yourselves up the driving premiership and training premiership charts. You're sitting third statewide, only 5 behind Amanda Turnbull, who sits second, and 8 behind Luke, who's on fire to the season. So it's been a really good couple of weeks for the stable. And I've also got to mention your junior, young Josh Gallagher. He went to Newcastle last night and he drove half the card, one for the stable and many outside drives.
Yeah, that's right. We probably started off a little bit slow this year to where we normally are. Gary decided to, which I agreed with, we had a lot of nice sort of 2 and 3 year olds at the end of last year that we elected to give a bit longer off so they'd be around for the later races in the season. So first couple of weeks, months were probably a little bit quiet for Lucky Lodge, but the better ones are starting to come back around now, and the team's really good, and we couldn't do it without the staff that we've got. We've got a great bunch of staff, you know, Sheridan and Josh Gallagher, they're both here every morning, and Joe Mocker, he turns up and we all get in, and it's a great sort of environment here at the moment, and everyone's happy, and yeah, the workload's really good. So, and Josh, you know, Josh, to credit to himself, he's probably a little bit down heading in the last night's meeting. He's had a rough week, but he picked himself up again, and he showed a trait of a good driver, turning the page and worrying about the night's ahead of racing and not worrying about the unlucky Thursday night he had. So, look, he's
a good kid, Robbie. He's got a good head on his shoulders, hasn't he?
Yeah, look, Josh is, he's been with me since he was knee high to a grasshopper, and I couldn't see a man carry so proud of him. You know, he dealt with a lot throughout his life, and he keeps getting up, and he's a great kid, and it's just a credit to him last night. I think he drove 4 winners last night. He rung me when I finished, and he wanted to go through his drives, and that he's keen. He sits in good. The horses travel for him, and I just think he's got that 3 claim still, and I think he's going to get a lot more drives. And I think last night he drove 4 winners, but I know we had one that ran a place, and I think he drove another one that got bet up ahead, so he could have quite easily drove 6, but it wasn't to be. He's got to be happy with his 4, but, you know, he's going great.
I mentioned, I think, at the start of the last season that he is certainly a driver to watch, and he's just got a great attitude. And I guess it'll be a lot of fun working around Joe Mocker. He actually got a winner the other day, albeit after a disqualification for another runner. But he's always got a smile on his head, Joe. He's just a real happy character, and I'm sure working in the mornings would be made a bit more fun with him around.
Yeah, well, that's right. When you get home from, you know, Newcastle or Penrith late at night, and you're a bit tired the next morning, and Joe turns up, he's got a way, Joe. He's just one of them people that's got them personality that can cheer you up at a bad moment. And saying that, he's a great horseman in his own right. You know, we couldn't do what we do without him. You know, if we got to go to the races, we know that Joe's going to be here and the horses are going to be looked after to a T. And He's got a great eye for a horse, and I've got to say his drives have been really good. You know, Gold Sovereign and him get along really well. So he's a little bit dirty at the moment. Gold Sovereign can't get into the Tuesday races with a junior anymore, so he's lost his drive, but he's gained another one on Tuesday. He's got a horse that we've got called Just Call Me Conch, so he's pretty happy about that. He's happy with his trotters, and he's worked here for a long time. Him and Josh have been very loyal to us, and they're great. Great guys, and it's always good to work alongside them.
Well, I guess you've got to say it's a credit to the environment of the whole stable if you've got people that have stuck solid with you for so long, because it can be a transient game where people do come and go and stable hops, for want of a better term, Rob, but they've stuck loyal, and, you know, I guess, how many are you working now?
Oh, there'd probably be somewhere around 50 there, yeah.
It's a busy workload, so you need that continuity, and I guess, as I said, the loyalty must please both of you, both you and Kerri-Anne.
Yeah, it does. We were very lucky, you know, both Josh and Sheridan, Sheridan's Josh's sister, they've come and worked at the stables on weekends since they were seven, so, you know, they've stuck with us, but they're their family. And Joe, I think Joe probably, I was only saying to him yesterday, I think he's nearly going on 3 years now, Joe, so... He's really good, and we're very lucky. You know, my mum and dad get up every morning and help us, so we've got a great team around us. And Kerri, you know, she's a credit to herself. She gets up, and all the horses look immaculate, and she prides herself on the one percenters, and that comes out in the way they race.
Tell me, you know, and I say this with no disrespect intended, but you're not a stable that's got a super big name. You have horses that provide, steady racing, meeting in, meeting out, week in, week out. But there's no true superstar. Again, to get these horses, these week in, week out horses to perform, that takes a lot of skill.
Yeah, look, it does. You know, don't get me wrong. We're waiting for that superstar. But look, it is what it is.
Any trainers with a superstar, contact Rob or Kerri-Anne right now.
Yeah, no, look, we pride ourselves on consistency, first and foremost, and I always go, the clients are happy if the owners, the horses are earning. We've never come across a superstar, but in saying that, we've been just shy a couple of times, horses like Charlevel, Mr. Brightside, Aztec Bromac. These horses, like even Smoky Courts turned up again last night and ran another good race. He was unlucky, but... these horses, these Smoky Courts has won 26 races for us and, he's earned over 250,000 and he's no star, but he just turns up week in, week out. So, we pride ourselves on consistency and our horses turn up to the races and they race good, they look good and genuinely, if they get a good run in transit, they'll run a good race.
And you're sporting the Mo for Movember. I've got to say, it's looking quite resplendent. What's the story there with the Mo? You're raising funds, obviously, for the Movember cause. Each time you drive a winner, is there a contribution? How's it working?
Yeah, look, every time Lucky Lodge trains a winner, we throw in 100, and we've been very lucky. A couple of owners have got behind it and put their hand up and been kind enough to support us as well, and there's been a few other donations to get thrown in. It's a cause for men's health in general, but through a lot of people knowing something that's very close to both mine, Josh, and Lucky Lodge and Kerri-Anne's heart, and I just sort of thought Kerri-Anne came up with the idea sort of late in October that me and Josh and Tony Locker jumped on and to grow a mow. And I don't know why. A few people tried and quizzed me last night to see if I was dying mine or no, but it's all natural, and I don't know why, but it actually turned out okay. But it won't be lasting any more than November. But, it's for a great cause. Like I said, it's something that's very close to Josh's heart, and I will try and do everything I can to get the word out there that, we all have tough times, especially in this industry. There's more downs than there is ups. And folks, for some unknown reason, they don't generally talk about too many things. So, there's always someone that you can talk to, and there's always someone that can lend a hand in any of your circumstances. So we're just trying to raise a bit of money for that and have a little bit of fun along the way with it. And I couldn't be prouder of our owners, Kerri-Anne, Josh, Lucky Lodge, and we've put it together. And I'm copping a bit of stick, but I'm enjoying it.
Good on you. Yeah, we were calling you Sanchez, I think, up in the judges box last night. I thought you had one of those. It's so dark and so thick. I thought it was one of those, those Groucho Marx little plastic mows. From upstairs, it looks like one. one of those, but no, it's a great cause. It's a great thing these are all doing, and as you say, it's a cause that's you know, certainly plenty of meaning for those within the stable, and well done. Keep it up, mate. Keep up the good work, and we'll catch up soon, no doubt. You're on fire, so is the stable, and more winners to come.
Yeah, no, thanks for your time, mate.
Good on you, Rob. Rob Morris there, Simon. Well done to him and Kerry Ann. They've got a great team there going. And as I said, well, since I know since the 9th of November, the stable's won 12 races. So there's $1,200 straight in just from Lucky Lodge. So well done to them. Before I let you go, mate, big news in New Zealand, of course. The New Zealand Trotting Cup was run and won, and I have to give special mention to Ricky Altron, our local trainer here in at Menangle. He took out the Group 1 trot on Tuesday and then ran second, albeit beaten the fairway by Habibi Inter, but it's a very smart trotter. He ran second in that second Group 1 in Cup Week, so big moment for Rick Altron. And Simon, if I can be just a tiny bit self-indulgent, a man who had a big influence on me getting involved in trotting and liking the trots was my dad, and he's having a birthday today, 82 he is, so good on you, Keithy, enjoy your day, and enjoy a cold beer later.
Yeah, happy birthday, Keith, and the best advice you gave young Frederick, greed begets nothing.
Yeah, well, I have said that to you before, yes. You've got a great memory, Simon.
I've always remembered it, too.
It's one of his sayings. He used to say, you know, I'd say, oh, I'm going to double up on this, and he'd say, greed begets nothing, and sure enough, it'd crash and burn. But no, he's been a good man, a good dad, and yeah, he loved the trots. He used to go to Harold Park in the halcyon days, and his stories, my goodness, how he never got arrested. I don't think some of the things he did or said to drivers over the fence you could get away with nowadays.
No, HR would step in, wouldn't they?
Absolutely, mate. But yeah, look, well done to him, 82nd birthday. So, but yeah, that's it for trotting this week, mate. On the pace, as I said, great week, and well, we're only a couple of weeks away now from the Inters, and that's something to really look forward to.
Thanks very much for your time, Fred. Enjoy the week ahead.
You too, Simon. Cheers, mate.
Fred Hastings there, and very happy birthday to Mr. Hastings. Now, let's chat about greyhound racing. Mick Cowley is standing by for this morning's edition of Going Greyhound.
Time now on Sky Sports Radio for Going Greyhound.
And Mick Cowley from Greyhound Racing New South Wales is with me. Mick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Simon. How's your week been, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. You've had a pretty busy time of it, especially with the Dapto situation.
No, it's been a very busy week. I didn't think I'd ever spend so much time in a courtroom, but I'm glad I was just there as an observer and not a defendant. So that's a good thing. That's a plus thing.
Well, we can chat about that a little bit later. But first of all, let's take in a replay of the big maiden from Richmond last Friday that was won by Zipping Brady.
Set. Ready and racing. Look, Fancy Nancy was moderately away. Aristocrat got away beautifully. Memories Run trying to hold it. Alu from Zipping Brady. Out wide then was Lambore. Cutie was just kept deep to Zipping Brady. Went to the lead. Getting a run through was rock solid. Well back in the field now. Look, Fancy Nancy. And last of all was Zipping Donato. On the top corner, Zipping Brady the leader. Got away the lead by three or four. Memories Run Aristocrat. They were followed then by rock solid. Zipping Red and Lambore. Cutie. But in the straight, the leaders doing it well. Open right up. Zipping Brady. Races away to win the final from Aristocrat. Give it to Zipping Red. Third and nose on Memories One. Lambore Cutie. Further back in the field. Rock solid. Faded out of it.
So there we have it, Mick. That was Zipping Brady's win in the big maiden final at Richmond on Friday night, defeating Aristocrat. And Memories One ran third.
No, a fantastic win there by Zipping Brady. That feature race, that Richmond maiden, has managed to throw up quite a few dogs from recent additions, and I know one man that's hoping Zipping Brady will be one of them, and also the brother, Zipping Red, is Rob Tyler. Rob's on the line now to join us. Rob, good morning, mate.
Yeah, good morning, mate. How are you?
Very well, very well. Mate, congratulations on Friday night, the win of Zipping Brady in the maiden.
Yeah, we were very happy with him. Yeah, he's a pretty smart dog, you know. His brother's as good, Zipping Red, but he drew wide and, you know, he's desperate for inside. But his run, I was quite, in fact, I was probably as happy with Red's run as I was with Brady. So, yeah, I think they got futures, those two, yeah, for sure.
Mate, absolutely. As I mentioned, that race has thrown out some good dogs in the past. And I know, Double Back won it last year, but in the series with the good odds dogs and Feral Frankie as well. So quite a few careers do get started in that Richmond Maiden. Hopefully there's bigger and better things for Zipping Red and Zipping Brady.
Yeah, they've taken a little bit of time to come to hand, that litter. They were very immature when we got them, and they were doing plenty wrong. And basically, they've just started to pick things up in the last probably 6 weeks, and we saw that race coming up, and we started getting them, preparing them around Richmond, and, they're good dogs. They trolled 30 and a half around there, so, it didn't shock me that they were competitive, but those races usually throw up some really good dogs, so, you can't take them for granted. They're, no matter what you're racing, they'll be decent, but, no, they were very good. We were really, really happy with them.
Well, you mentioned Zipping Red, desperate for an inside. He came out with 7 in the heat and 8 in the final. You must be looking somewhere for another maiden where he might draw the inside.
Yeah, well, we're going to take him. He'll go to Wentworth Park in that New South Wales bred maiden series in fortnight. He's trialled very, very good down there at Wentworth Park, so we'll take him down. Another girl in Zipping Blondie. She ran 3rd in her heat at Richmond, didn't qualify for the final, but she'll go down to Wentworth Park as well. And Zipping Flick, she'll go around as well. She ran 2nd in a maiden on Friday night. She's still very green as well, so we'll take her down and give her a little bit of experience. But they're ticking over pretty well at the moment. We've got a good batch of young dogs.
And I was going to say, you've got obviously quite a few of the Zipping dogs, and they all seem to be coming on at the same time. Would you put your neck out and pick who is at the moment the most promising of the lot you've got?
The fastest one we've got from the Hallinans is obviously Zipping Truvy. She's just outstanding. She's just a superstar, that bitch, when she's right. Look, there's nothing between the two Brindle dogs, Zipping Brady and Zipping Red, and there's a bitch from the Zulu Zeus litter, the sister to Zipping Truvy, Zipping Blondie. She's going to be a decent bitch when we get her over ground. Hasn't got a lot of early pace, but she's very, very strong, and she's around that same mark. She'll trial around 30 and 6 at Richmond, so she's going to be okay. Whether Wentworth Park's going to suit her is probably it's problematic, or whether she'll really handle Wentworth Park in a full field, but ability-wise, there's plenty of there's a motor there, So, there's not much between. Truvy's the standout, and then you've got Red and Brady and Blondie, etc. So, they're quite decent dogs.
Rob, what's the plans with Zipping Truvy at the moment?
Well, Truvy, her last start, she ran 3rd in the Young Star Classic final. She the week before, when she qualified and ran 2nd, she came off the running rail and injured a shoulder. And really, we were sort of clutching the straws whether we should have put her around in the final. And on vet's advice, we sort of got her through the run, but she didn't pull up enormous from it. She pulled up a bit ordinary. So we had to throw her out and start again with her. But she's just coming back now. She's actually in the back of the car now, and we're on our way to the vets to get the all clear to start trialling again. So it's looking promising, but she's just had such a stop-start career at this stage, and if we can just get a few decent runs into her, she's one of the last runs she had at Wentworth Park, she ran home in 11:40 the night she took a stack of ground off Feral Frankie and that other one, Jason McCoy's, I can't think of his name, but she's just got a huge motor, Zipping Truvy. She's the sister to Zipping Garth, who went to stud, and hopefully we'll get the all clear in a couple of hours, and she'll be back soon.
Are there any targets that you're looking at, given you get the all clear? Is there a path that you're looking towards? Is this maturity down the track or something along those lines, or do you aim potentially bigger and start path your ways towards the Easter egg?
Well, her future's definitely going to be as a stayer. But it's just, as I said, we've had such an interrupted passage with her. She's just been in and out and trying to get it right. And, if we could get a few decent runs into her, her future will be over ground. But you know, obviously we're going to have to start, back as a sprinter again to kickstart her career again. But, we haven't really got anything picked out. It's really in the hands of the vets at the moment. And, you know, it's looking good. You know, it's to the eye, the shoulder's great, and she's galloping well on it. So we haven't trialled her since she's been back. She's probably had 3 or 4 slips up my straight, and she's pulled up great on each occasion. So if we can get the all clear today, we'll give her a gallop during the week and see how she runs, and, you know, we'll probably take her to Richmond. And, you know, if she's right, she usually runs around the 22.3, 22.35 sort of mark. So if she can run somewhere around that, we're on track again.
Mate, good luck in a couple of hours with that news. With Zipping Brady, what's the plans with him? You mentioned potentially Bathurst.
Yeah, well, we're tossing up. I've got to ring Marty. I'll speak to Marty later tonight and Cameron and see what way they want to go. We've got 2 options. There's a normal, like a city race at Wentworth Park for those 1 to 2 wind dogs. We can go down that path, or he trialled very, very fast at Bathurst. We might consider the Soldier Saddle, but I just worry they're not high-speed dogs, and I'm just a little worried that they might get tangled up in the pack at Bathurst and cause a few problems. So, yeah, I'll speak to Marty and see which way he wants to go. And, you know, but it'll either be as a normal race, probably in a fortnight at Wentworth Park, or maybe the Soldier Saddle. But we'll speak to Marty and see which way he wants to go.
Mate, I'm sure you'll find out more about several in the kennel today after the vet and the chat with Marty. Rob, thanks for joining us this morning, mate. Congratulations on Friday night, and all the best with Truvy and Brady and Red and all the other zippings in the kennel, mate.
Good on you, mate. Thanks, Mick.
Thanks, Rob. So there he was, Rob Tyler, straight off the back of a maiden win at Richmond on Friday night in a race, as I mentioned, that has thrown up some very handy sprinters in the past. Notably, Feral Frankie went through it last year and couldn't get the win. So that will see what the future holds for some of those other dogs.
Good to have a chat with Rob there. Now, through the week, McNeil Staines has said that he was most unlikely to head to Melbourne for a tilt with Lightning Vision, unless Lightning Vision were to win brilliantly last night, which happened in race one. I wonder if there'll be a change now with Neil, with the plan to go to Melbourne, or whether he'd still stick to the Paws of Thunder.
I think Lightning Vision's not making it easy for him, that's for sure. Yeah, maybe Lightning Vision read those comments and thought, oh, I'll show you. It came out and ran 29.53. Just to put that in context, it's a good time standalone on its own. But the only other dog that broke 30 seconds last night was Jimmy Casey, who was a finalist in the Million Dollar Chase, and it only just broke at 29.98. So that's an impressive performance. Didn't step fantastically, but mustered speed, had a wide runner outside. Hit the lead on the first turn and was just off and gone, won by almost 14 lengths. Very impressive. So I imagine Neil's got a little bit of thinking to do before he decides whether he continues on for the Paws of Thunder in January from memory, or whether he does look at perhaps heading down for a Melbourne Cup heat this week.
So those heats are drawn on Tuesday, and we expect to see quite a few New South Wales dogs there.
Absolutely, yeah. The notable ones will be obviously Good Odds Arata and Feral Frankie. They'll be the standouts that will head that way. And obviously both the form that they both have been in. They've got to be real life chances in those heats. As you mentioned, they'll be drawn on Tuesday. Those heats will be on Thursday night at Sandown, and then the final the following week. Heats are on the 22nd. Which is obviously Friday, and then the following on the 29th will be the final. So some great racing coming up south of the border, but hopefully some New South Wales dogs will feature some.
We mentioned Dapto there at the top of the show. Last Thursday night with the meeting that went ahead, we had heats of the Dapto Middle Distance Championships. How did they go?
Yeah, new race that GRNSW have put into the calendar this year, and been very well received by participants. Yeah, quite a number of dogs and trainers obviously came up from Victoria to tackle the series, and quite a few have got through to the final. Andrea Daly's got a couple through. She's got Rockstar Melody, which got through after running second to Slingshot Hammer, another Victorian for Rob Camilleri. Rockstar Prince won another heat for Andrea Daly. So there's some good dogs that have got through, some good locals as well. Sorry Scott for Andrew and Adam Crouch. And also Petula Gaggiani, she's got Soul, another one that got through. So that's a pretty smart race. The box draw for that will be done on tomorrow morning. Yeah, so that'll be a fantastic event this Thursday night.
And what was the latest with the court decision regarding Dapto Grays on a Thursday?
In a nutshell, the judge will hand down his